You know, last week I was challenging you. I hope that you can get excited about what God has done in your lives, in the community, in the nation perhaps, in your churches. I hope that you can get excited. And today we're going to build on that just a little bit. We're going to remember some of the things that God has done for us. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 12. I'd invite you to open your Bibles to there, and we'll look for that in a minute. We're going to look from Luke 22 and remember, be reminded of what God has done for us. I don't know about you, but I told you last week, I get excited to worship Jesus. You get excited to worship Jesus? Praise the Lord. I hope you do. Matter of fact, last Sunday I was getting so excited during the second service. Some of you know I got a little high blood pressure. I was getting a little lightheaded. So I figured today I better tone her down a little bit. Lest you have to come scrape me up off the carpet today. But God has done great things, hasn't He? God has done great things. You say, well, Jim, my heart hurts, and I'm lonely, and I'm sad, and I'm broken, all this and that. But God has done great things. And we're going to be reminded of a couple things this morning because, let me just slip out of the side here a second because I want you to see this that Jesus said here. Because we need to remember what He has done for us. We need to keep that in the forefront of our mind, the great things that God has done for us. And as Jesus said, and we'll look at that in Luke 22 in just a little bit, do this when we take this cup and take this bread a little later this morning. Do this and remember, Jesus said, what I have done for you. Don't forget that, God said in the Old Testament to Moses and Aaron when He drew them out of Egypt, out of slavery and out of bondage. Don't forget what I have done for you. Tell your children. As a matter of fact, we're going to read just a little bit. He says, when you have this service called Passover in this week of the unleavened bread, tell your children when they ask, what are we doing this for, Pop, Ma? Tell your children what God has done for you. And as I was reading through some of these verses this week, you know, we often are together with family and friends, and the sentence comes up, I remember when. Doesn't it? Comes up for you too? I remember when. Well, I was a little boy and this happened, or you were a little girl and that happened, or whatever else. I remember when. And I just want us to remember today, if we remember nothing else, when we remember what God has done for us. And the next time we have conversation with somebody, instead of saying, yes, I remember when, we walked uphill 6 miles to church, and then we walked uphill 6 miles home again. Instead of just remembering something like that, remember what Jesus has done for us. And even to the point where God said to Aaron and Moses, tell your children why we're doing this. Next time we say, I remember when, can we share a little something like, I remember when Jesus saved me. I remember when He brought me out of the darkness, of the muck and the mire of life, and set me on higher ground. And so I just want us to remember today a little bit, a couple things from Exodus 12 and then from Luke, what God and Jesus said, remember Him. Remember what He has done for us. And today is Communion Day, and it's the first Sunday of the year and the month, and I just want to remember what God has done for us. Let's take a look for a few minutes at Exodus chapter 12. And I'm not going to read all of it. I learned in the first service I had too much, and so you get the abbreviated portion of this scripture. You're just going to have to read it on your own. Exodus chapter 12 is very good reading. I'm going to give you some highlights in an abbreviated portion, but I want you to get the gist of what's happening. I think you know the setting. Exodus 12 is setting smack in the middle of disaster or plague number 9, if you will, and plague number 10, just prior to God bringing the children out of Egypt. You remember the 10 plagues, don't you? A firm would be like this. No, I don't remember, would be like this. And if you don't remember, I would encourage you to take a look at Exodus again and remember what God has done for His people. There were 10 plagues in Egypt. This is just after the 9th one. The 10th one is coming. And God said to Moses and to Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, "This month shall be your beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." Did you know He changed their calendar? He just changed their calendar. Did you know that? This is now called the month Abib, or however you want to pronounce it, A-B-I-B. He said, you know why? Because they got a new beginning. That's why Jesus said to remember. Because when He saves us, we have a new beginning. Amen? Remember. And He's giving them a new beginning. And He says, "This now, Aaron and Moses, is your first month. This is the first month of your year." And He goes on to tell them, "On the 10th of this month, grab yourself out of the flocks, out of the herds, a lamb or a goat on the 10th of this month and bring it in, as it were, into yourself, into your possession, into your belongings. And on the 14th of this month," He says all this, but I'm just going to paraphrase. "On the 14th, take that same lamb and sacrifice him." And He goes on to say, "The whole assembly shall kill that lamb. Their lambs, each household with a lamb, unless the household was too small. And they shall take some of that blood, and they shall put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the house where they eat. Then they shall eat the flesh on that night, roasted in fire with unleavened bread." And I'm just skimming through here. I think you know the story. "Do not boil it. Do not leave it till morning. Stay in the house." And then He says finally in verse 11, "And thus you shall eat it with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover." And He begins to establish this Passover supper, this remembering, if you will, how it was the mighty hand of God that brought them out of Egypt. He goes on to say, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment on them." He says, "I am the Lord. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over, and the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt." Verse 14, I like the NRSV. It says this, the New Revised Standard says this, "So this day is a remembrance unto you. Remember what I have done for you," God said. The New King James says, "This day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." Verse 17, "Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance." In other words, on and on and on and on. Remember this, He said. Keep this sacrifice. Why? To remember what it is God has done for us. To remember what it is God did for the children of Israel and bringing them out of Egypt, out of slavery, out of bondage, out of the affliction of the Egyptians. And then in the next verses, He starts to establish that feast of unleavened bread. We don't have time to look at that. You can read about that. So here you have it. Let me summarize. Day 10 of the month, Abib, bring a lamb. Day 14, sacrifice a lamb. Have the Passover. Remember, from that 14 to 21, the Feast of the Unleavened. Same thing was going on when Jesus held the Passover. We're going to look at that in Luke 22. So He's establishing this ordinance, if you will, this service, this ceremony to remember. And then later on in that same chapter, verse 21, Moses called for the elders of Israel and said to them, "Pick out the lambs according to your families and kill the Passover lamb." And he reminds them again of what to do with the blood. He reminds them again to stay in the house. He reminds them again the Lord is going to pass through Egypt. He's going to strike down dead all the eldest of every Egyptian home, from Pharaoh to the servant, including the animals. He's going to strike down dead the firstborn in every home. In verse 24, he says, "And you shall observe this thing as an ordinance for your sons, for you and your sons forever. Verse 25, and it will come to pass when you come to the land which the Lord will give you, just as he promised, that you shall keep this service. Why? To remember what God has done for us. You know, so oftentimes I fear in America, we're a pretty blessed group, aren't we? We're a pretty blessed group in America. You start to look around the world and you start to think of this little scenario I mentioned to you earlier, producing 100,000 packets of food for starving children all over the world. We're a pretty fortunate bunch. We're pretty blessed in America. And I fear that oftentimes we start to begin that it's something that I have done, or something that we have done, or something that our nation has done, and we forget to be reminded of the great things that God has done. Perhaps because we are so blessed, perhaps because we have it so much different, so much easier, if you will, than some nations around the world, perhaps we begin to think, look at what I have done. And God specifically told Aaron and Moses, do this every 14th of the first month of the month Abib, and remember what God has done. And I think that it would behoove us in the church today to remember what God has done for us. What God has done in our communities, wherever you come from this morning, in our homes, in life, for each of us as individuals, saved us. Healed us, whatever it is, I think it would behoove us to remember to whether we need a service, a Passover service, like he said, what do you mean by this service? When you come into this new land, he said, your children will ask you, what do you mean by this service? Remind them of the things that God has done. And later in that chapter, the 10th plague hits. The death of the firstborn is a reality, and the Lord brings them out of Egypt. And in Exodus 13, again, Moses is before the people, verse 3, and he says again, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of the Lord brought you out of this place. And verse 8, 9, and 10, he summarizes again, and you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done because of what the Lord did for me when I came up from Egypt. It shall be as a sign to you on your hand and a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in season from year to year. And he just simply tells them to remember what it is that God has done for you. Fast forward to Luke chapter 22. We look at that night Jesus sat and had Passover supper with his disciples. Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 14, when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You know, as I read that this week, it took on new meaning to me. Because put your mind around this for just a moment. He was about to go to the cross. He was about to be betrayed by his own. He was about to have, as it were, part of his beard and hair pulled out, slapped around, spit on, kicked perhaps, beaten certainly, abused and misused, almost scourged, almost to death, and finally put on the wretched cross. And you see the words of Jesus. You see the love of the Master when he says to his disciples, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you. Why? Why would he say that? Why would he do that? And I just look at this and I see the love of the Master. I long to do this for you. He embraces his beloved. I long to do this for you. I long to do this with you. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and he gave thanks and he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took the bread, gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them saying, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. You think about that, brothers and sisters? Do this in remembrance of me. This one is carved out of the King James. It says, this do in remembrance of me. It means the same thing. When we gather together around the communion table, around the Last Supper, whatever you're accustomed to calling it, when we gather around the elements of bread and the cup, Jesus said, when you do this, remember me. Remember what I've done for you. And let me challenge you this morning, friends. Do we remember on a daily basis what Jesus said? Do we remember what He has done for us? You say, Jim, sometimes I have a hard time remembering that He's done anything for me. I've had people tell me that. He died for us that we might not die in our own sin. As God ushered the people out of slavery and bondage and affliction, so Jesus in His death here ushers us out of sin. Hallelujah. He ushers us beyond the sinful nature, not to be lost and trapped, as it were, to be bound up in sin and bound for hell because of sin. But He has set us free because of what He has done. We can remember that if we can remember nothing else, can't we? Do this in remembrance of me, He said. Likewise, He took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. What's He mean? No more lambs. No more gathering that lamb on day 10, cutting his throat on day 14. And you know what? That blood, all that did was cover up their sin anyway. And Jesus' blood atoned for our sin. He is the propitiation, the Bible says, for us. He is that sacrifice. He is the atonement. And He said, this is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. And then He adds, but behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table, and truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom He is betrayed. Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do that thing, the betraying of Him. And as I think over this, friends, I think of for 1,500 years, right, really, really, really close to 1,500 years, they kept or were to keep the Passover to remember God in His deliverance of them. And then Jesus stepped into the scene. And He went, as it were here, I have desired to eat this Passover. You say, Jim, well, He wasn't saying I desired to go to the cross. No, it doesn't say that, but He did. He desired to go to the cross at Calvary that we might be set free, as it were, from the bondage and the slavery and the affliction of sin. For 1,500 years they kept the Passover, by and large, I suppose, with a few misses maybe. And Jesus said, when He was about to lay down His life on the cross, now when you gather at the Passover, now when you gather at the Last Supper, remember what it is that Jesus, what I have done for you. And so I just want to challenge us with two things this morning, friends. Number one, do we remember, do we realize and do we remember what it is that Jesus has done for us? Do we really remember, do we really know the magnitude of what it was when Jesus went to the cross and said, I'll go for your sin so you don't have to die in your own? All we have to do, the Bible says, is repent. Confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus and that God raised Him from the dead, and we'll be saved. That's something to remember. And the other thing I want to challenge you with is when we're reminiscing and when we're together and when we're talking about the good old days and the things that happened or the things that we remember, can we and will we also remember what God has done for us? Even if it's He's saved me. Even if it's He's drawn me through that difficult hour. Will we also remember what God has done for us? I hope that we will. I hope that in this year that we will remember some of the things that God in His goodness has done for us. Let's pray. Father, forgive us. Too many times we have either accepted credit or said this has been accomplished because of what I have done, and it's not. We want to remember, gracious, eternal, omnipotent, sovereign God, it is You that directs and orchestrates our lives. Thank You for deliverance. Thank You for freedom. Thank You for walking with us, even though, as it were, in the valley of the shadow of death. Thank You for encouragement. Thank You for strength. Not only strength for the day, but strength to say no to temptation and sin. Thank You, Father. We remember this morning. We remember what it is You have done for us in sending of Yourself and sending Jesus. We remember, Lord Jesus, how You went to that cross, how it was Your body that was beaten and hung up there like the common criminal. We remember that it was You, O God, out of Your great love and grace for us, that sent Jesus as our sacrifice, as our atonement, as our propitiation. We remember, Lord Jesus, what You did for us. Amen.